Last week, as we began the season of Lent, we looked at the original blessing of creation that we have recorded in the book of Genesis, that God intended from the very beginning for us as human beings to live life to the fullest and take advantage of the creation that he had left for us. But Adam and Eve were not content with simply enjoying all those blessings, of course. They wanted to make themselves the criterion of what is right and wrong. They wanted to live in their truth and not the source of all truth, Almighty God. Adam and Eve refused to listen to the higher voice of objective truth, the voice of God. They ate then from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, fulfilling their own desires, their own judgment of what is true, which ended up leading to death and destruction. In fact, if you drag out your Bibles when you get home and look at the book of Genesis, you have the story of creation, the original blessing, the original sin, and then in chapter 4, right after all of that, from 4 to 11, you see one consequence after another of the decision of Adam and Eve to do their own thing. One calamity after another recorded. The first one is, of course, Cain and Abel. An account that is filled with jealousy and rivalry and hatred and cruelty and ultimately murder. Then after that, we have Noah's Ark, which tells us about the pervasiveness of sin. Sin may start small, but can quickly overtake the entire community, the entire world. It's like, the coronavirus or some other contagion. Water was spreading all over the earth, the destructive force of water reflecting the destructive nature of sin. Then we go from Cain and Abel to Noah's Ark to the Tower of Babel, where they are building this tower to the heavens. They're going to rival God, the sin of cultural imperialism and human pride, and replacing God with technology. And so in these immediate chapters that follow, we see sin inside and out, inside ourselves and in the community. It's what happens when we fall into disobedience. So that's chapter 4 to 11. Today, the second Sunday, we have the 12th chapter of Genesis, the first four verses. And in these first four verses, we have the beginning of God's great rescue effort. He's frustrated by all of this sin because all of this sin is keeping humanity from living life to the fullest, from being happy and truly content and at peace. And so God launches the beginning of a rescue effort in cooperation with us as he forms his people Israel. He's forming a healthy contagion, if you will, a holy people, a light to the nations. Again, carrying that kind of health metaphor forward, it's like immunotherapy for the sinful condition, which he uses us to repair something that we did. And to lead this effort, the creation of Israel, God chooses Abraham. It is unclear why he chose Abraham, to me anyway. He was not a major military figure. He wasn't a political figure or well-known in the culture. And he wasn't young. He was 75 years old and just now getting started with this mission from God. God speaks to him and says, "Go to the land that I will show you." And Abraham went. He listened to the divine command, the divine truth of God. Listened to God's voice to go out on an adventure, to experience nobility and heroism and the fullness of life, a higher purpose That is what God does. He summons us beyond our little narrow world. No doubt Abraham wanted to stay right where he was. When you're 75, you know, you're done moving around. You're comfortable with your family, your surroundings, your community, your home, your livelihood. And Abraham was able to set all of that aside. He listened to the higher power of God and followed God out on this new adventure. As I was reflecting on Abraham and his going out in a heroic way at his age, I thought about a movie that I saw a couple weeks ago. It was the movie about Midway, the battle of Midway in the Second World War with the Japanese. And I looked at those kids, those 18 and 19-year-old boys, and I couldn't help but think about how heroic they were in so many ways. 18-year-old kids from farming towns like Reardon and Davenport, leaving comfortable life at home to embrace a higher purpose, an adventure that would lead to be sacrificial and to be noble. Heroes are always called into an adventure that often involves danger. The implied message in the account of Abraham is to trust God and his truth. Leave what you are familiar with, the settled ways. Settled ways that probably on some level involve a certain amount of sin. As I think about young people, those young men who sacrificed at Midway, I think about young people today, and really the tremendous need in our church for priests and consecrated religious. The church is in desperate need of men and women who are willing to set out on an adventure that will involve sacrifices, battles, honor, and nobility. God is calling heroic priests and consecrated religious to serve his church. Our young people simply need to cut through the noise and listen to that higher voice, that higher calling from God. Abraham listened to a higher voice and began God's rescue operation, which was made necessary because of the death and destruction that were ushered in by Adam and Eve. And as we look throughout salvation history and Scripture, that rescue operation culminates in a young Jewish girl, the Blessed Virgin Mary, with her yes, her answer to this higher call, her willingness to set aside the comfort and the known and to step out into the unknown, to do something amazing. Her obedient yes gave us the Savior of the world, the ultimate triumph over eternal damnation brought into the world by original sin. During this season of Lent, then, let us strive to listen to the higher voice of God, the voice of truth that may be asking us to leave that which is comfortable and familiar, a comfort and a routine that is all too often tainted with sin. May we listen to that higher voice calling us to set out on an adventure that is noble, sacrificial, and true.